I have
current geek.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars, geeks of the world, and you to keep current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson with Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Hello, geeks of the world, and you, Russ Scott Johnson.
Hello. It's snowing here. Isn't that weird?
It should, what?
Yes.
It's almost May.
I know. But April weather is known around here for getting real funky, but...
Oh, that's the old Utah saying, April showers bring May flowers bring snow.
Yeah, there you go. It'll get nice and warm by the time I see all of you, though, so I'm excited about that.
I hope so. But, I'm turning around and going right back to life.
I don't know what's happening. 2 days ago, it was 75 degrees. Suddenly, it's cold enough to snow. But anyway, we're happy to be here. It's Current Geek. We're starting off the weekend right, and we are doing it with two lovely guests who have joined us today, old friends of the program. Let's talk first to Kathy Hopkins. Cheesy G, you may know her as. We have her down as a very busy person. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad you guys are tolerating me. I appreciate that very much.
No problem at all. I understand you are at a place of work. I hope they're cool with us doing this today.
Absolutely. I know Fawn's amazing. He helped help me set up with the computer and I have a computer here clearly because I do stuff.
Right.
And the camera and everything, and he's off quietly in the corner doing his thing before he has to go drive up to San Francisco for Megabot stuff.
Oh, Megabot stuff sounds good to me. All you had to do is say Megabot, and I thought that sounded real good.
That's right.
Very nice. Also with us and joining us again, this isn't his first time, everybody. It's Dan Patrice, podcast host and tabletop expert and a good friend of the program. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's always an honor and a privilege to hang out with you guys. The best way to start your weekend,
absolutely,
with Current Geek.
Yeah, and if you have any drug questions, Dan's also a pharmacist in his real day job, and can help you out. Whatever, man, you want to know.
What are the side effects of appearing on Current Geek, Dan?
Well, if the side effects appear for longer than 4 hours, you got to go see a doctor.
Oh, all right. I was going to say,
or take video.
Yeah, my experience has been explosive diarrhea. Anyway, hey. We're gonna soldier on and do all kinds of fun stuff today. Again, great to have you both here. Let's dive straight into these here headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
All right, Tom, what's on
Tom,
deck?
Why do you use an iPad that is external? I just have this thing right here on my computer. It works great.
Weird.
Nice. I'm sorry, I'm just giving you a hard time. Emojipedia revealed on Twitter that users can now search for tweets and usernames with specific emoji. They chose to announce it by making fun of people who use the fax machine emoji, because fax machines.
So wait a minute, if I want to find tweets based on like the poop emoji or the whatever, the thumbs up, I can just search for that and I can find
that's
what
right
I need.
Our national dream has arrived.
Wow.
The eggplant. Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Risky. Yeah.
I can see
there's going to be like a cult out there that, you know, it's going to be the start of another movie where you're going to find like you got a poop, a thumbs up, and an American flag, and you're going to search for all those people, and those people are the secret society that are about to take over the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how they figure it out.
I thought they were so clever.
I have this very kind of bummer attitude about emojis generally. I was, you know, from the school of ICQ and the original AOL Messenger and all that stuff. And I felt like emojis were good enough. Like we had our smiley face and it was all just text. It was a colon and a parenthesis and you're done. So there's your smiley face. Everybody move on with your day, right? And then we got to come in and make a billion of them, and they all look like food and faces and hands and expressions and all this stuff. And I'm a little old man about it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about emojis. I just don't care for them. So when I hear about something like this, or in Heroes of the Storm, they added all those emojis, Dan, as you're aware. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. I hate them. I don't like them. I don't know what that is in me. I don't know why I'm just stuck in this hole. In fact, when I do it now, when I'm trying to express an emotion, I still just do it with simple sort of ASCII-style characters.
You just stick to your own colon.
Yeah, I stick to my own colon.
Unlike most of Twitter.
But it's, you know, like, I understand it. My wife uses it. My kids use it. They all love it. And I get it. But why it landed on me with such a thud, I don't know. Just
the emojis are cute and all. Like, I'll send my wife a heart here and there, but I didn't realize how crazy it was to the other, you know, the not even like what they call the millennials. It's like beyond that. So my daughter, I'll ask her, hey, please make sure you take out the dog. And let's just say, okay, love you. And then there's like 100 hearts after it. I'm like, who's got time for 100 hearts?
Yeah.
And then she'll send it like 4 times. I'm like, kids.
Yeah.
Kids, they just love the kids these days. Yeah. They're like the old guy.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
So now, but here's the thing. Before you could search for emojis, Tom, you could just search for my emoticons by typing in simple characters. You could say, how many times was a little smiley face used? And you'd find me right away. We didn't have to have some new fancy protocol to search Twitter for things or some website dedicated to it. So, you know.
Yeah, but just think of the hashtags you'll be able to use now.
Those bug me too. Everything, you know what? The modern internet can go take a flying leap because all this stuff is starting to get on my nerves.
I just made Scott spit out his drink. I'm sorry.
A little bit. A little water came out. It's all good though. Well, whatever. I don't want to poo-poo this too much. Obviously, emojis
you mean
are big business.
Emoji this.
Yeah, and these are. I know these are big business. Stickers are big business. Throwing things in traditionally communicative software is big business, and it's not going to stop now. So I'm cool. I'll take it. It's fine. But you will not.
Words are hard, guys.
Right. But you're not going to find me sending you a slice of pizza and a guy in a hat winking. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, why don't you like us, Scott? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, if I had to send you an emoji, it would be, I don't know, a simple, like, give me, how about this? I got it.
Ramen noodles. There you go.
All right. Ramen noodles done. Only emoji any of us need. Dry brick of ramen noodles. Complete.
I'm trying to find the angry old man emoji to send this guy.
I'm sure he's in there and just waiting for me. Yeah, it's fine. In fact, do send him because maybe I need to have him handy and I'll just use him for everything. I do use the little trademark symbol, which is produced in Twitter and other apps as an emoji. So it's a little TM there and it puts it above, you know, up high where it's supposed to be when you attach it to words. And I'm fond of that, like, you know, stayed up too late, trademark or whatever, just kind of being snarky or whatever. And I'll use that all the time, but it's in my little favorites top thing. And it's about the only one I use. Like people using that eggplant, I know what you're up to, okay? I know
you're
what you're doing.
Parmesan.
Yeah, that's what you're doing, but also it's a wiener. I know you're making a wiener.
Wait, what?
That's what people are using that eggplant for.
Hot dog parmesan?
Gross. Yuck. Yeah.
Well, Kathy, thank you for bringing this to our attention. It was Kathy who submitted this for the lineup today, and I feel that it was a much more productive discussion than I expected. We may have actually convinced Scott. I think we've gotten him closer.
All right.
Our most popular subreddit story is about copyright and tractors.
Whoa.
Makes
really?
Emojis look downright attractive to some people, I think. The short version is that to fix modern-day vehicles of many kinds, not just tractors, you need to access diagnostic systems. You know, you've run into this. We're like, well, we got to check the computer. John Deere protects their diagnostic systems with encryption that only authorized repair outlets are allowed to break. Break it yourself so that you can fix your car yourself, and you're violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Now, some folks are fighting for an exception for repair. The Copyright Office every so often issues exceptions to the DMCA saying, well, you can break copyright for these reasons. And some people are even campaigning for a change to the DMCA itself. In response to a U.S. Copyright Office inquiry about these concerns, John Deere, among many others, filed a form saying that farmers don't actually own their John Deere tractors anymore, but instead receive, and I quote, an implied license for the life of the vehicle to operate the vehicle. So, and John Deere's way of looking at it, you don't own your car, you just have a lifetime license.
So if I pay, let's say a tractor, this isn't unheard of, let's say a tractor's 30 grand.
Sure.
It's a nice one. I don't own that tractor when I put down that money because if it's
not
just
from where John Deere sits,
it's just a license. I paid 30 grand to license that vehicle.
Yes, for a permanent lifetime license to operate the vehicle.
Now
is this in response to the, I think a couple of years ago, I saw an article about a couple of years ago, they had an exemption. And I think that's what you were alluding to, Tom, because a couple of years ago, they had an exemption to the DMCA for land vehicles and tractors.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that was kind of the same thing that allows, I think it made it legal to jailbreak phones and to
There are different exemptions that they issue. Phones was one, and repairing vehicles was another. Yeah, and they're trying to get it to keep that exemption, because if they don't keep renewing it, it expires.
Right. So now, if are they fighting this exemption so that they can say that, hey, you can't now? And it, man, you got to feel for the farmer. I mean, there's a lot of different things that really suck about being a farmer, and this is a big one, because you have to. I mean, if your tractor breaks down, and now I don't want to stereotype farmers, but they're pretty handy people. And if something breaks, they can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now John Deere is basically saying that you can't fix this without our guy coming out there and paying a lot of money to our guy fixing it. So, because you've got our software on there, and that kind of stinks for them. And they're just, you know, just trying to make a living, which is harder and harder every year with, you know, industrialization. So, I mean, it's a shame that they've got to go back and forth. And if you're John Deere, why do you want to bite the hand that feeds you? People that make tractors.
Actually, John Deere is taking more of the approach of the dairy farmer and trying to milk everything they can get.
Oh, very nice. Well done, that one. I would just say that I kind of understand why they'd want to, but this has to not be a thing. It just can't be a thing. Like, imagine if I'm custom building a PC and I want to flash my firmware on the motherboard.
Yep. Don't own the firmware. A lifetime license.
That sucks. Like, that's not cool. What at some point we're not going to own anything. I understand renting things like services on Netflix or whatever, but you know, we don't own those films. I get it.
Wait till we have that neural lace Elon Musk wants to have in our brains. We won't even own our own thoughts.
I don't like that. Not one bit. Kathy, what do you think about this? I don't think you probably have a tractor, and neither do I, but If this was your
tractor beam, I don't know. You know, like how we work in LA bars here.
Well, in theory, it could you know, extend to all sorts of things, totally. Including cars.
Well, it's like, you know, computers. There's so much software, and there's so many different companies. Who's going to win the battle royale for, like, who's going to say, no, you cannot touch your computer at all, because our stuff is the most commonly used software on your system. And then you have, like, washing machines, like from Samsung and stuff, that have a ton of software. Refrigerators have a ton of software. And again, Samsung is like one of the biggest software heavy appliance things out there, if you're going to pick an appliance.
Sure.
Cars, you can't change your own oil without, you know, going straight to the manufacturer only after a while, because a lot of times you have to specifically dip into software and tweak it. So do they have to license out to all the mechanics?
I don't like it. I feel like it needs, I feel like if I pay for a thing to my own detriment, I should be able to try to, I mean, if I blow it and screw that tractor up, so what? Fine. I have to go buy a new tractor then. Oh, boo-hoo. Like,
I think the other main example that an article I saw cited, you know, if you have an iPhone, you know, if you want to get it fixed, you got to bring it to an Apple store. You know, for the most part, without, you know, jailbreaking everything. So it's an interesting thought about, you know, John Deere's arguments, and you can see them for both sides. So, like, John Deere doesn't want people to use their tractors for nefarious purposes with their software, and then the farmers also don't want John Deere sending out a pulse that just stops their tractor to make people have to go come and
fix it. Can they do that? Can they actually do it?
Here's the thing. We're talking about copyright law. John Deere is making all these arguments of, like, well, if people can do this, they can do dangerous things with their tractors. And the fact of the matter is, they can do dangerous things with their tractors anyway. Mm-hmm. Copyright law isn't meant to protect people from doing dangerous things with stuff they own. Copyright law is meant to stop people from copying things and selling them as if they were their own. So, yes, they encrypt the software in part so that people don't copy the software and sell it and undermine John Deere's business. But when you're breaking it for the purpose of repairing your tractor, that's a whole different matter. And John Deere shouldn't be fighting that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah,
that's
a really good point.
It's for your own good, guys. It's for your own good. We swear. It's not for our pockets at all.
See, the thing, just
real. It for evil. We promise.
The little bit Dan said about you have to go to the Apple store to get your phone fixed. Well, in some cases, yeah. If there's a real problem with the guts of the thing, or you need to get new memory for it, or the battery's horrible or whatever. But sometimes it's just, well, I've chipped the glass and I'd like to replace the glass. And you can go do that a million different places. Mm-hmm. So all we're saying here, I don't think...
You're not breaking copyright law to
right,
do it.
Right,
right.
So, there's nothing about that breaks copyright law. Now, if I went out and, you know, I don't know, downloaded an image of iOS, tweaked it around a little bit, and then started shipping it on my own phone of my own making in China, well, then I'm breaking copyright law. And I think people are reasonable enough to understand that, the difference. This thing they're trying to do is... It's like, I don't know, it's like Vegas Like, sorry, you can't bring your own water in here. You're going to have to buy these $30 bottles of water that we have for your convention. It's that kind of thinking.
It's really a fugazi.
Yeah.
Musical chemist in the chat room says, is this any different than software in our cars? No, it's the same battle. Yeah. So if you want the right to repair your own car, you want the John Deere to lose this battle.
Yep. This is true.
All right. You can have a long semantic discussion about whether or not the movie Unbreakable has a sequel in the movie Split, but the man himself, M. Night Shyamalan, has tweeted the following. My new film is the sequel to Unbreakable and Split.
Whoa.
It was always my dream to have both films collide in this third film. Next film's name is Glass. It will star Bruce Willis, Samuel Jackson, James McAvoy, and Anna Taylor-Joy. So the best of both films coming together January 18th, 2019.
I'm stoked. Now, two things. I've not seen Split because I couldn't get around to it. I still don't know the spoiler stuff. I don't know anything about where everyone always says there's some big moment you don't want to be spoiled on, which sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. But all my friends...
Every M. Yeah, Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, and everyone has been raving about it, especially James McAvoy's performance and all that stuff. I love Unbreakable. I think it's the best thing he ever made. And I loved its take on superheroes in a very different way. And Glass is a very evocative name because we know what, if you know what Unbreakable is, then you know what that references. That this is maybe the most exciting news of the week for me. I'm completely jazzed out of my mind for an Unbreakable series. And yeah. And knowing it's going to tie in Split is just all the more cool. Except I can't believe
that James McAvoy could see dead people in that village that existed in modern times.
Well, the aliens came and made crop circles, and it was a little
easier. Especially when you talk about Mermaid, too.
Yeah, there was the pool, and I can't remember any other movies. Oh, and then he made that horrible Airbender movie, and that's when usually most of us checked out. The Happening was after that, or was that before that? The Happening.
No, Scott, we were trying to pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, The Happening did happen, but man, do I wish that The Happening never happened. It is a garbage movie. Let's just make
Unbreakable,
that clear.
To this day, like you said, Scott, is still my favorite Shyamalan movie. It's kind of hard. I see dead people. That's a good one too. But Unbreakable was great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Split, but I'm looking forward to seeing how if you can put these two together. It seems like he's really on an uptick again.
Yeah. Which is great.
People say Split is really good. So, and when I first read an article, it didn't mention anything about Bruce Willis. So I'm really happy to see that he's tied to it because. I don't know if I could watch a movie like that without having him because he was so good in Unbreakable.
Yeah, I watched incredible. Split before I had ever seen Unbreakable. I'd never seen Unbreakable.
Oh.
And I really enjoyed Split. And I think if you've seen Unbreakable, you will also enjoy Split.
Have you seen Unbreakable now? Have you seen it since?
Yeah, I've seen it since.
What'd you think of that deal, that movie?
Well, now it feels a little dated, but it's still good. It's like way better than some of the other movies we've been poking gentle fun at.
Yeah, to me, it was the first attempt. You know how everyone talks about Logan, or to some degree, I guess, Deadpool, but mostly Logan is like, oh, finally, it's this gritty, real take on superheroes and the relationships and the stuff and the whatever. I think Unbreakable did that a long time ago.
That was like an intro to it, really.
It was amazing. Yeah. And you didn't. A lot of people didn't realize. They're just like, what am I watching? And I'm like, you are watching a real life comic story. Like you were watching how this would work in a modern era. It's really incredible.
I was reading one article. It might be the same Polygon article where Shyamalan is quoted talking about how when he pitched Unbreakable, the reaction at first was nobody wants a comic book movie. So he thinks it's hilarious now. Like that's all we get.
Yeah. You can't walk.
Today's superhero day too.
Yeah.
International superhero day.
You can't walk. Does. You can't walk 3 feet and not run into a comic book movie now. So.
Yeah,
he was onto something.
Watching me. okay, let's talk moths. We've gone too long without talking about moths. A moth called Galleria melanella lays its eggs in beehives, and the caterpillars feed on wax. Of course, if you didn't fell asleep in fourth grade science, caterpillars turn into moths as well as butterflies. A beekeeper friend of Paolo Bombelli found holes in plastic bags she had been using to collect the caterpillars as she removed them from her hives. It turns out that after she turned them over to some scientists and did some talking, they did a study and found that the caterpillars eat the plastic bags. And not only that, but they break the bonded molecules of polyethylene, so there's no more plastic left. Although they do leave behind ethylene glycol. A previous discovery from a different wax-eating caterpillar worked much slower and was bacteria-based. This new discovery seems to involve some kind of enzyme that they want to try to narrow down and figure out what it is that works really fast.
So synthesize that, and then you can get rid of our plastics. Is that the idea?
Yeah. In fact, we have concerns, and This Week in Science both talked about this story as well, and one of them mentioned that they actually smushed the caterpillars into a paste. Poor caterpillars. And spread it on the plastic, and it still broke the plastic down. So that's why they're pretty sure there's some kind of enzyme in it.
Who's the guy in the lab that went, you know, if we just mush these up.
I think it's an accident. It's like, oh, there's a caterpillar. Oh, no, he's supposed to be there, guys.
I hope so.
Actually, I've been in a few labs, and it's nothing but dudes sitting around going, we should do this. and then once that doesn't work, then it's like, all right, so we could do this.
Yeah.
I love reading these articles. So when you read an article like this, it says in here, they put these worms and exposed them to supermarket plastic bag, and within 40 minutes, holes began to appear. Hmm. Like it was superhero stuff. They just appeared.
What's the next M. Night Shyamalan movie?
I think they maybe threw like a video camera in there and saw how they just appeared.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's Galleria Melanella Man.
I love the idea that they don't. I want them to synthesize it. I don't want them to crush up millions of these poor larvae and have them.
Well, you know what else they could do? This is also how another one of these great movies start, where they take, they're like, all right, so we've got to break down all of Tom's K-cups. So let's throw a few of these larvae into the dump where all the K-cups are, and we got to do it. So then fast forward, you know, all of a sudden you've got a 5,000 ton worm that's coming on Salt Lake City throwing radioactive coffee beans all over the place because we just tried to break down all these K-cups.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm into that. A giant latte creature from LA comes into Salt Lake City and destroys everything. But for real though, I wonder if I could have like a compost style home plastics ungeneration type thing where I could just keep moths and raise them and they would have caterpillars and those things would just crawl around my plastic waste and before you know
I think you would probably need a lot more than that. See, what they'll do with these is they'll probably take all that mush that we said and they'll throw it through a chromatograph and they'll find out all the different things that are made up in there, and then they'll systematically start using each one of those components and exposing it one by one.
And then finally I can get rid of these.
Yeah, finally. Check those things, man.
But it's a great find because, I mean, some of the great – I do this all the time, so I apologize, guys. I hate to bring this back to medicine. So some of the biggest discoveries that we've ever had is just random stuff like this that we find out just works. Mm. So this is really cool how – you know, and science is just crazy like that, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if they can't synthesize it, though, I mean, there could be a way to do a farm like Scott's talking about, especially because the caterpillars eat – the plastic, or converted, I guess is a better way to put it, pretty fast. So if you can just keep the moths laying eggs and the caterpillars always being born and going, you could have some sort of facility. But yeah, I think you're probably right, Dan, that the more efficient way it'll be to figure out how to synthesize the
eggs. And they could also do, like you said, oh, I'm sorry, Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, so back in Seattle, I remember that there are people that would have herds of goats. Mm-hmm. I promise I'm going somewhere with this. And herds of goats that would, like, on the hillsides by the freeway and such, would be like acting like lawnmowers and cutting down the grass with their faces, basically. Mm. And so it was like a natural way to just kind of work on the grass growth and everything. So if they can't synthesize it, at least they can, you know, stuff and drop off like a pile of these guys in landfills, whatever else. They'll seek out the things they love to munch through and whatever else. And yeah, that might actually help.
Did they actually do the goat thing? Like they had goats and used them to help control grass growth or whatever?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like Capitol Hill, especially, there were a couple of hillsides that had massive, like by this one dog park I always drove by and everything by the freeway downtown. And
because in my head, that's like a Looney Tunes cartoon I've seen before where they get a bunch of sheep to sort of control something. That's crazy.
That's probably where they got it. Honestly, it's like the medicine thing where they just like tried stuff and boom, it happened.
Huh. It's interesting. Yeah.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a big old company full of people just drawing out some of the enzyme of these caterpillars. You know, I mean, that's even how they do snake antivenom. because they've got to milk the snakes for him. Ugh, so I mean, you wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it would probably take a lot of caterpillars. But
who do you? Yeah. So what do you do? What do you use ethylene glycol for? Is that a thing that the end product, can that be reconstituted for some other good in the world? Or is that, are we just now have an ethylene glycol problem and we can't ever get rid of that?
Well, I mean, they could possibly reuse that for other things. I mean, I'm not sure how it gets put together, but polyethylene glycol is part of Miralax. I mean, that's a laxative.
Oh, sweet. So we got a new potential source of... man, I'm glad you're here,
dude. It's also used in antifreeze and in polyester.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure they could probably sell it to industrial uses of many times.
I could be wearing a three-piece suit made from old Coke bottles, is what you're saying to me. Old plastic.
Sort of,
liter Coke. Okay.
Finally.
I'm in.
Well, from Coke bottles that were eaten and pooped out by caterpillars.
Excellent.
This suit pooped out my caterpillars.
It all comes back to the colon. Everything.
Always. Every time.
Yeah. Always.
It's milking or the colon. That's all we got. Hey, let's talk about something that involves neither milking nor colons, as far as we know. Deadline reports Warner Brothers and DC Entertainment are going to launch a streaming service in 2018 with two original series. One called Titans, written by Greg Berlanti. If you recognize that name, it's because you watch The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, or Supergirl. He's involved with the entire DC lineup. Also joining Berlanti will be Jeff Johns and Akiva Goldsman. Those are all other titanic names in this Teen Titans-based series. And there'll be an animated series of Young Justice. So a third series of Young Justice to be called Young Justice Outsiders. The DC service is also going to include comics, according to Deadline. So not just TV and fan interaction. They all promise some sort of interactivity. So we'll have to see what that means.
I wonder if it also means that. So DC, takes a lot of heat in movie theaters for their live action treatments lately. It's not being as good as they could be, or, you know, kind of losing out to Marvel or whatever. But they have never really faltered in the area of direct to DVD or serialized animation. Some of the best stuff ever. And it seems like every month something really cool is coming out of DC Animation for all the characters we love, for Justice League, for Superman, for Batman, for whatever. And this seems like the perfect outlet for everything you mentioned, plus this big, you know, giant library of really good quality animated entertainment.
And comics.
Yeah, how's that going to work, I wonder? Yeah. That's very interesting.
I'm thinking of it as an app like DC Unlimited, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But then you can also watch these TV shows in that same app.
That's pretty
I'm wondering if that's why they delayed so long for putting, because I don't think they ever did a DC Unlimited like Marvel has. And I think the clamoring for so many people wanting to do this, they said, well, if we're willing to put this out there for $10 a month, maybe people will do that to subscribe and get access to DC Unlimited. I mean, I am about as cheap as they come, but when it comes to things that I really want, I'll put out $10 right now a month just to have this. Those movies are so good. Like you said, those animations are so good, animated movies. And I just don't want to buy all of them. I want to be able to watch them, you know, on demand. So that would be a great way to have them on there. You know, old things like Super Friends would probably be on there.
Oh, I'd love that if they got the really old stuff too. That'd be great. But I mean, you know, like right now you have to kind of piecemeal. It's like, well, this is on Netflix right now. HBO's carrying these three. Amazon's got a couple of them. Like, it's just kind of spread all over the place. All in one place, $10 a month, absolutely. But what if they tell you, Dan, $19.99 a month? Is that when tick up?
Yeah, that's when I start to say you may have gone a little bit too far. I'd rather say something like $100, you know, or maybe $150 a year, which kind of splits the difference or so. Mm-hmm. But $20 a month.
Because $10 is a little much relative to things like Hulu and Netflix, but probably worth it if you're throwing in comics, right? $20. Sure. Ooh.
Yeah.
Jeff, but Tom. I mean, whatever it takes to get that live action Titans, though. I mean, think of live action Titans when they announced that it was going to be on TNT, and then I guess they scrapped that because, you know, it just fell through. Now they decided to pick up the baton to do it themselves. Boy, that could be really cool.
Could be really
good. If they
have
this money behind it, they could probably put some money into it.
Yeah, it could be good. It's the other thing that they've been really great at, Berlanti being the chief reason, but their TV efforts and live action have all done really well. So this could be huge. Kathy, does this excite you to know you could get your entire DC fix all the way down to comics through one simple app?
My dreams, finally. No, I actually really, really, I'd love a lot of what they put out, again, for animated especially. The thing is, I'm very aware, as we all are, of how sometimes grabby they can be with, yes, we have this local, the centralized source for our stuff, let's go ahead and maybe slightly pull a few things from other areas so you have to use our service. Mm. And I hope they don't go in that direction. That's my pessimist in a way, but that's unfortunately how a lot of them like to kind of go. Yeah. CW does that a lot and things like that.
Yeah, CBS already does that.
They pull it onto just their own thing now.
Yeah, Stars and CBS and a lot of these other, you know, apps, they start getting real exclusive about their own content, and that Star Trek series coming out is going to be exclusive to their own app. So I'm totally with you on that. I'll bet this does mean that we will see that stuff get yanked from the big clearinghouses like Netflix and Hulu and so on, which is unfortunate.
Well, some of it won't be able to. So the DC stuff that's on CW, that's staying on CW, my guess. A lot of that Netflix stuff, they're going to have to wait for their contracts to end if they do want to yank it back. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. I hope it's, like Dan says, if it's $9.99 a month, I think I'm doing this. I these are big names. Geoff Johns made the single best run of Flash you'll ever read. It's incredible.
He's a god of among men with stuff like that.
Yeah, he's so good.
And Akiva Goldsman too. I mean, it's a great team. Sarah Schechter is going to be producing as well. She's been involved in a lot of this stuff. So I think it's going to be really good. It's enough to make me want to try the service, which if they throw in comics, I think is genius, because it might make me start reading some DC comics that I haven't up till now, which then makes me more likely to buy other DC stuff, and they make tons of money off merch, right? So I think putting comics in with this is genius.
Yeah.
Because it's not just another streaming service that you're like, oh, great, I'm fatigued by these things.
And it would put, you know, in theory, you'd get your Wildstorm, which is a DC property now, so you get those comics, mm-hmm. you get the stuff like from the Sandman days, and mm-hmm. like if it's full back catalog stuff, the way that Marvel Unlimited is, that's really exciting. And if they do a better job of more current stuff, because I think Marvel Unlimited is kind of crappy at that, that would be really good. So
But I take it too. I don't care if it's 6 months from now. If you can only get releases 6 months from now, I'm just happy to have it.
Yeah, and there's a ton of it. It's not like you have five titles. It's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories you've missed over the decades.
Totally. And actually, I don't have time to read or watch something when it comes out first, unless it's like the one thing here and there. So it's like a few months later, I can handle that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, that's why I don't subscribe to Marvel Unlimited, because the things I want to read from Marvel, I want to read right away. And they don't have the older stuff like from Image or, you know, Dark Horse that I've been waiting to get around to reading. So there's no combination thing. Whereas DC, if there's a show, then I might be like, oh, I'll just pick this up. And I know there's some older titles I've been meaning to get around to. That'd be great.
Yeah. I wonder if these would play on TVs. Like the shows, obviously, probably, but I assume so. They do an app. But I wonder if the comics themselves would be like remote turnable and watch them on a big screen.
Them or Chromecast them. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. It's a pretty weird idea, but we'll see. This is an amazing.
Pessimist in me says this is never going to happen because this is something I've wanted for like 20 years, so there's no way it's
going to
happen.
It does seem unlikely, but also the fact that they're saying they're going to do it in 2018 and they've got, you know, these people, you know, they don't say enough about including comics. That's just a tagline almost, but we'll see if it's this full featured buffet we want or if it's kind of half-assed.
Comics.
Yeah.
Who put the story in here? It wasn't me.
Oh, I put it in there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
I'm the big DC guy. You see the Green Lantern shirt.
Yeah.
No, for sure. I'm actually going to steal this and put it on Cord Killers next week, too.
Oh, go for it.
It's a good one. Well, I want to thank all of our subreddit submitters who found a lot of these. We found a lot of these internally, and I'm from our guest today. But nevertheless, working hard behind the scenes, our subredditors are always giving us stuff. Tom, who submitted some of our stories today?
Yeah, man. Thanks to everybody who submits stuff. Everybody that votes. The voting is probably the most important thing because that's how we see what's surfacing up. So go to currentgeek.reddit.com and vote. But special shout out to JMZ668, JM Bean, and Captain Kipper, who all had stories we used in today's show.
We'd like to take a moment during the middle of the show and let our guests talk about some of the nerdy stuff they're up to. It's not so much plugs as much as it is just, hey, what kind of cool projects are you working on? So we'll start with you, Kathy. Anything our listeners would be interested in and where they can find it?
Well, I'm in LA. We have to talk about something I'm doing myself. Well, that's weird. So since, you know, I last did much stuff more in Seattle, it's many hats, working over at, you know, Funko Studios. We're working a bunch of things here, Megabot stuff. But, yeah, otherwise, you know, I'm working on some charity film project. We just did a premiere for that. So that was insane, for like terminally ill kids and stuff. And like, Let's see what else. Press stuff. I'm doing like red carpet things, and I hate those with a passion that burns so deep within the cockles of my heart. but otherwise, yeah, I like going and get free food, so it's good. Right. I did those reviews.
Yeah, once in a while, I'll see a photo of you on Instagram or something in some rad red carpet line for a movie I'm totally into, and you'll be standing around with actors I'm totally interested in knowing more about. And then I always hear later that those are a real grind. They sound like a lot of work, and they're kind of a huge pain in the butt.
I prefer the junkets where you go and you kind of mingle and get the hors d'oeuvres and whatnot and just like hang out. And I mean, you get to like just randomly chat with them and maybe have your camera guy or your phone with you and just record conversation like a podcast basically, but you're there.
Yeah.
Or like go see a screening and then write about it, or go get a free brunch at a taco place and write about that.
That's awesome. Well, we'll at the end of the show, we'll get some more info from you, some links and stuff where people can follow you and see your goings on. Dan, tell us about some of the cool stuff you got going on, man.
Well, I've been lately, we've been, you know, this is the time of year where we start ramping up for Gamers for Cures. I do a yearly charity event in November. We raise money for Turner Syndrome Society of the United States and North Carolina. So I've been trying to finalize the date and get some of the details together for that and get some guests in there. So we do a 24-hour board game marathon for Gamers for Cures. So just been getting together, getting a date, and getting all games and freebies and stuff together. So
that's awesome. And the Geek All-Stars podcast, of course, awesome stuff. Always talking about the best in the world of tabletop gaming and a whole bunch of other stuff.
We just talked to Isaac Childress from Gloomhaven. He designed Gloomhaven, and he's also the publisher. He's got a big Kickstarter out there that just ended. I think it made nearly $3 million. I mean, a game, and it's that good.
It's a second, and that was just a second run Kickstarter, right?
Yep, and that was a second printing. That's how much it was in demand.
Jeez.
Amazing.
Yeah, that thing is the golden child of tabletop games right now. Everyone's talking about Gloomhaven like it's the greatest thing ever.
And it's in the top five or six. I think it just went to six on BGG overall on Board Game Geek.
Wow.
As the number six game ever.
That's crazy. That thing's been around like 15 years. That's hard to do. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, and they've got games from all through the years. I mean, and there's still a couple oldies that are in the top 10, but most of it's the, you know, what have you done for me lately is Board Game Geek, so.
That's true. Well, awesome. We'll learn more about that. And I want to get another print to your charity this year, so we'll talk about
appreciate
that
it.
As we get closer to it. And we'll talk more about web stuff after where people can find more. In the meantime, to let you find folks at know at home how we pay for this show, it's simple. You go to frogpants.cratejoy.com, and in there, you will find a monthly box full of goodies. And you don't always know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's art from me, written things from Tom, stuff our guests have provided. In both cases today, both our guests here today are contributing to future boxes. So you'll get some stuff from both of them. You get things from us, and you get all sorts of nerdy stuff. We've had everything from shot glasses with our name on it to USB chargers, to weird, cool trinkets, prints you get every month. You get a membership card every month with custom art from me. It's a really, really cool way to support us because you get rad stuff in exchange. It isn't just throw us money. It's throw us a little money, and we'll send you some rad stuff in a box every single month.
Place the money gently, and then we give you an amazing box.
That's right. Very gingerly, we like to say. Anyway, that's at frogpants.cratejoy.com. This is the only show we do this for. This is the place where we like to do it, and we think it fits the best. So we've reserved it for you, frogpants.cratejoy.com. Do it today.
America scores and wins.
All right, it's time for us to play a little game. It is the pop quiz. We ask our guests questions in areas of their expertise. They answer it the best of their ability. Tom keeps score the entire time. And when you hear a correct answer, you'll hear this. When we get a wrong one, you'll hear this. And your topics today. Kathy, are you ready for yours?
I guess.
All right. Your topic is The Room trivia, the film The Room.
So not just a general room in particular, a room.
The Room.
The
room. As opposed
to... How many sides does a room have?
A Roomba.
So you know that Room movie that came out a couple years ago? This is not that. This is the terrible, horrible The Room movie, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mommy of the Wiseau variety.
Yes, and we're excited about this movie because FilmSack will eventually sack it. We just haven't gotten around to it.
Please.
Here is your first question, and I think you already know the answer. Who wrote, directed, produced, and starred in The Room?
If only it were me, but no, it was Tommy Wiseau.
You are correct. Oh, hello, Brad. Next question is, what year was The Room released?
I'm really dumb right now. I feel like it was 2002.
You are so close. 2003, Tom.
2003. Oh, yeah. 0.8 then for being within a year.
All right. 0.8, 0.8 points. Not bad.
It probably took him like 5 years to make it and like cast people and find people to replace the people he cast when they ran off.
Yeah, it was such an incredible production, that movie.
Yes. Where's Mark?
What is... Oh, hello, Mark. What is... I always say Brad, but I always mean Mark. What is Johnny's occupation in the film? What does Johnny do for a living?
He works with computers and businessing.
You are close. It is banker is the correct answer. A banker.
Oh, well, I was thinking work with computers, so I think that is a full point answer.
Oh, my. All
and
right.
To be fair, he says the computer business is so hard.
Oh, he does say that. You're right. You're totally right.
Yeah. And we dock a point from Scott.
Yeah. I win nothing, as usual. Here's your next question. Who plays Johnny's homie, Mark, in the film?
Mark. Greg Sestero?
You are close enough. Greg Sestero is the correct name.
I said that.
Yeah, well done.
A full point and then a bonus tenth of a point for the number of syllables used to answer.
Yes. I talk like this the whole time there, right?
Nice. Yeah. So the homie part, I just have to give Ice Worm some credit. He likes to sneak homie into things so that I read them out loud because I hate the term homie.
What up, Ice Worm?
Yeah,
what up?
So that's him in there. All right, next and final question. What was the budget for The Room?
$3.
You should be right, but is that your final?
And their shame.
And their shame? Incorrect. The answer is $6 million was the
Well, amount. Scott, I have to say the answer is half correct because it did definitely involve their shame.
Yeah, that's true.
Do I need to get credit for this? Really?
Doesn't it feel like there are a million other cool things you could have made with $6 million? It just seems like such a, that's a bad value for what they got.
I could have lived for a good few decades.
Yeah. I could have lived. I could retire, dude. I'd be done. There'd be no more need.
Half that $6 million was therapy.
Yeah.
you could buy some caterpillars with that.
That's right. Yeah. Melt all your plastic.
Solve my plastic takeout problem.
So now we switch right over to Dan Patrice, who's going to try to compare his scores. Dan, your topic is Milton Bradley trivia.
Oh, dear Lord.
You know, the venerable name in board gaming, Milton Bradley.
The old school games.
Now, is that
spin the wheel and find out which question.
And I don't know if this is any of the questions, so I want to be careful here. All right, this is not. Is it one dude or two people?
I think they're two people.
Okay, that makes sense to me. It seems like a 60s era, 50s era kind of deal where you got a partner to me. Anyway, here's your first question.
Well, it's two first names, right? Yeah, so that's confusing.
Well, it could be Bradley last name.
But I think they're both people's last names.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe their names were like Bill and Fred. And
It's a guy. In 1860, Milton Bradley moved to Springfield, Massachusetts and set up the state's first color lithography shop.
Ah, see, I'm with you guys. I would have totally guessed two people. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I would have too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, here's your first question. In what year was Milton Bradley founded as a company?
Tom probably just said it, and I have no idea. I'll say
I did give you when he set up his lithography shop, but not when he formed the game.
Yeah.
Let's go 1969.
You are incorrect. The answer says here is 1860. Is that his birth?
Oh, that's right, because he probably was well dead by 1969.
I just said 1800 something on lithography. But what? You probably didn't know anything about lithography, because I don't either. So.
Middleton?
Maybe it gives you immortality.
That's great. That guy was born in cowboy times. That's great.
Yeah, right.
What game did Milton Bradley make that is basically a game of Scrabble that allows tiles to be placed on top of the other letter tiles?
Well, there was a game that you could put on top of other tiles on top of others, but it was called Upwords. I don't know if they're looking for it. We'll go with Upwords.
You are correct. Upwords is the answer. I've never heard of Upwards.
That's actually pretty good. It's good, especially for kids.
It's news to me. You know what I really like is Boggle on iOS and Android. I can't stop playing Boggle with friends. I play it constantly.
You have friends that play Boggle?
Yeah, tons of them. I get game requests all day from everybody. It's awesome. Great game.
I just wish I had friends.
Yeah.
So. I only know I don't know any words. You know, I'm so bad with word games that it's only like poop.
Mm-hmm.
You
do all right. I'm getting better, and I tend to win more than I lose, but I like the idea of a game called Friends with Friends, so you can just get from friends to play friends. Here's your next question. What city was Milton Bradley founded in? I'll give you a hint. It's in these states united. I'll give you a hint.
Because all things great come from Salt Lake City. Let's go with that.
Oh, man. You're right, but in this case, you're wrong. The answer is Springfield, Massachusetts.
Which I'd also mentioned when I mentioned the photography shop.
You did, didn't you?
I'm oblivious to the world.
That's amazing. All Dan knows is, ma'am, I'm sorry, but you already got three cans of Valium a half an hour ago. We have to send you away.
It's too soon to fill that. Too soon.
Yeah, too soon. That's too much Xanax. All right, here's your next question. In what year did Candyland change from using cards to moving pieces in a spinner? To a spinner, rather.
Hmm. Ooh, I only remember it as cards, so yeah, it's got to be pretty recently. Let's go 2001.
All right, let's find out. That is incorrect. The answer is 2013.
Oh, well, but he's going to get 3 points for having three of the numbers in the year, correct?
Wow. That seems a little sacrosanct, doesn't it? Like, if you change an old, you know, traditional board game as recently as that, aren't you messing with the...
Well, you're not really making any decisions anyway in Candyland, so it's either you're pulling a card that you shuffled in, or you're rolling a spinner, you know, or you're flicking a spinner.
The cards always look so delicious, though.
Yeah, they always look eatable.
But they always get lost, too. Yeah. Every time.
You're never going to that candy corn ever again because the dog ate it.
That's right. Dan, let me ask you this question. This is not one of the trivia questions, but I'm wondering if you have a favorite Milton Bradley game ever.
You know, I had remembered, we just did a show on the top 11 games from our childhood, and it reminded me of a game, and it may be a Mattel, but I think it might be Milton Bradley. It's called This Game is Bonkers.
Oh,
do you guys remember that game?
Yeah, I remember that.
I never played it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah.
So it's a big board, and you had these cards, and kind of when you went on, you could put these cards down, and it would tell you either move ahead three or back three. Like, the whole board just kind of, you know, evolved as you played. So it was like the original Legacy game. Mm. So it was different every time you played.
Okay.
So I used to love that game, because, you know, and then towards the end of the game, you're just moving your piece all over the place trying to score points.
So it's, for me, I'm torn between Stratego and Yahtzee. Because those were the most I played, I think, growing up. There's a ton of other ones, though, like Life, of course. That was always a thing. Operation.
Is that Milton Bradley?
Yeah, it was Milton Bradley. Operation, the Don't Touch His Funny Bone, that thing was barely a game.
Scott loses another point. Oh, wait, no, he gets it back.
Oh,
it was licensed to Hasbro, but it was a Milton Bradley
game. But it was a Milton Bradley created game,
at
right?
One point, you know, every time you touch the side of the operation game, it sounds like you got a question wrong. And in this.
Oh, they also they originally made Twister. That surprises me. Weird.
Life was originally created in 1860 by Milton Bradley himself.
Wow.
So a lot of these old things. I mean, I remember seeing they did a drunk history on kind of Milton Bradley. I think on Comedy Central, where they showed how he actually went around like town to town with all these, all these handmade games. And used to sell them and then just get out of town. And because, you know, it wasn't a lot of mass manufacturing back then. So yeah. I guess it was I don't know what lithography is. That's maybe how he mass produced his games.
Yeah, I bet so.
And brought them down to town. And that's how he made a living.
I love that.
I hope he popped into town with Twister.
Yeah.
And like said, hey, this is great, guys. It's totally innocent fun. And then suddenly, like, the town exploded in population. We won't say why. And like, bye.
Yeah, no.
I'll be back in 9 months. Let's see how many people are here.
No, listen. I'm not gonna lie. When I'd go to like a junior high party or something, when I was like in, you know, eighth grade, and some kid would pull out the Twister, everybody'd get pretty excited. That was an exciting moment, you know, because Twister and girls and stuff. That was great.
Mm-hmm. I went to a lock-in party where I was the only girl who showed up out of all the boys. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's no good.
Played Twister, and I was like 15, and
that's no good. Yeah, you got to get out of there. Your final question, Dan, is this. What game features two guns with ball bearings that are fired at pucks, with the object being to knock a puck into the opponent's goal?
Well, oh, man. They just, Blue Orange Games just put this out too recently, a new version of it.
That's impressive. You'd even know that.
Oh, I gave away a bunch of them at my charity event, and it's a lot of fun. You have little rubber bands, and you're flicking them back and forth at each other. But the guns, I'm going to say Crossfire.
You are correct. Well done.
Hey.
So happy that that theme was in my head. Crossfire.
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 I'm pretty sure there's
they had great commercials of those things back in the day. That's a YouTube trip for you.
Yeah.
Pull up some of these games and look at those commercials.
I think I found one here. Let's see.
Yeah. The ultimate challenge.
Crossfire. Oh, yeah, dude. That's some late 80s, early
90s. 80s butt rock theme song.
Yeah. Retrojunk.com has that. Anyway, well done. You both answered your questions, I think, pretty ably, but Tom is the final judge here. How'd they do?
We see a final score with a lot of fours. Kathy, 4.4 to Dan's 4.0.
Oh, well done. So, Dan,
congrats, good job.
Yeah, you come back next time there, buddy.
A woman finally wins at something.
Actually, I think we probably have more female winners on this segment than we do male winners. I'll bet you. I just get that. My memories, I don't have a track list of it, but I'm pretty sure the ladies kill us.
Yeah.
That's been my experience. Well done. All right. Well, that means it's time for forecast. Check this out.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It was a show. Now it's a segment where we talk about the future of pop culture, of technology, of science, and more. Sometimes it's near, sometimes it's far, sometimes it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter. And today, Dan provided his prediction, so I'm going to let him handle it. Dan, what is your prediction of the future, and how soon?
A lot of the predictions that we usually do, like, are hundreds and thousands of years in the future. This is a kind of more in the next maybe year to 5 years, because I know part of it already exists. So I figured with all this VR going on, and a lot of it is still expensive, and a lot of people want to experience it, and the rise of internet cafes and board game cafes are huge now too. I think we're going to start seeing some VR cafes. And even, you know, and now you even see some of these places that are kind of like laser tag, but yeah, they are VR experiences. Mm.
Now, you know,
we're going to see some VR cafes.
You know what I'm going to say about this.
I've thought a lot about amusement parks and those laser tag type places as good uses of VR. But what if it was just a place where you can go and rent a headset? You know, mm-hmm. Maybe you just want to watch a movie and be isolated or whatever. That's pretty cool.
I see Scott cringing already.
Yeah, I'm already cringing. Go ahead, Kathy. I'll feed you guys in on my problem with this in a second. But Kathy, I want to hear your take.
Well, this is part of that, actually. Partly good, partly problem. Tom, did you go to VRLA recently?
No, I didn't.
We went there, a bunch of people from the studio and stuff. And it was lots of fun. And you get to do everything from some HoloLens type of egg hunt thing to you're playing basically Fruit Ninja thing and all that, and then also a few different other games on the Vive and everything else, and I kind of was amazing.
Yeah.
No one saw me, so I can't say no. So it was a lot of fun, but the wait is so long if you're in line for something like that. Like for example, there, one place at least had the foresight to hand out appointment cards. Now, if you're going to a cafe or something like that, you need a ton of devices. Otherwise, you know, people have to book appointments. They can't just show up and play and all that. They can't just spend a few minutes there and go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, a lot of internet cafes are the same, but there's also, you have to have space, not just be at a keyboard.
Yeah.
And then also people aren't going to destroy things and then, you know, not pay. It's on deposits and stuff.
Well, let me tell you why I know Tom didn't go to VRLA. Because he doesn't have pink eye in both eyes. So here's my thing with this public stuff. And I'm actually really impressed with like what The Void is doing. They're right here just outside of Salt Lake City. They got a lot of national attention for doing what they're doing. They're basically mobile VR units running through a building where there are real objects in front of you. In the real world, they're just like gray, inanimate, like a half wall that you would duck behind to get cover. But in the game world, it has been mapped to be, you know, rubble or something else.
Like so, augmented reality thing.
Yeah, it's all very, very, very cool. And what they're doing is really neat. And I love it. But all I ever hear from GDC or Vegas show-offs of VR for the Oculus conference or any of these other things is how many people come home with pink eye or some kind of weird face virus that they got from sharing headsets. And as much as this is a lot of me just going, ew, gross, part of this is actually a real logistics problem. Like, just generally wiping down the thing is not enough. And I don't know how you're going to get mass market appeal laser tag environments. I mean, kids are going to go no matter what, but they're all going to spread their disease the whole night.
And only a few people there actually wiped down their stuff or gave you the protective things at the RLA. It was like some people didn't wipe them down, though.
Yeah,
I noticed that. And I kept the
wiping down should be enough. Mr. Pharmacist, can you back me up on that?
Absolutely should be enough because... It's not like the most rampant thing. Like, I know that pink eye sucks, but it's about the most harmless thing you can get. It's basically just inflammation with some itchiness.
But it's it's poo in your eye, though.
Well, that's kind of a misconception too. I mean, it's caused by a lot of different things, but yeah, I mean, one of them could be poop grouping in your eye.
You're like the toxic Avenger.
But when you're talking about a cafe, so you're talking about places like people like OSHA are going to get involved in stuff like this. So it's going to be very regulated as far as wiping things down, and it'll be part of the thing. But also, I mean, if you think about a cafe setting, think about the people that would come in to sit down and walk around the Vatican or the Nile from the comfort of a seat. Mm-hmm. So you can do those things. It's not just, I mean, we look at it and I'd much rather play games, but think of how cool it would be to see the pyramids in a cafe and, you know, right outside your house.
No, I want to see.
United Airlines will start using this as a replacement for you when they pull you off your plane.
That's right. You'll have a lovely
visit your destination.
Yeah. You'll have a lovely trip for that guy. But like, I totally agree with you. If I'm, and here's the truth. I want to see the pyramids before I die from Ebola from the guy that wore the headset before me. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I'm saying is you can't, it is the most intimate public sharing device.
You can sterilize it though. You
can. Scott's getting Ebola.
Scott, here's what's going to happen, Scott. Japan will solve this for you.
Yeah.
Because there's two things Japanese are good at. One is weird cafes with owls or pom-pom purine or whatever, and they love arcades. So this is a perfect thing for Japanese markets, and they're very good with hygiene.
Yeah. So
this is going to launch in Japan, and they're going to make you feel much better.
Okay,
about
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I also think the technology is currently in a position where they're big, gangly headsets, and that's going to change. They're going to get smaller, sleeker, faster, more wireless.
You know, and you're going to have. Some of them don't feel bad, though.
Yeah, and some of these are going to be mounted on your head in such a way that they may not even come in contact with anything. They're going to augment your vision through other technologies. So this isn't me complaining about the 20 years on for VR. It's just like right now, if you say, come on down to Conjunctivitis VR, where we've got, you know, it's dibba-dibba-doo, and you're just going to go in there and get the worst eye. Itchy eye.
I think, Scott, you should be the poster child for telling distributors and demonstrators to freaking wipe down every time.
No exception. Like Lysol in hand.
Could I do like a 40s style infomercial that they would show right before anyone would go in, and it would be all crackly film, and I'd say, now listen, Billy, try not to get your eyes stuck. You know, I don't want to
wipe down the VR headset.
Let's see what happens to Billy when he doesn't wipe down his headset. How you feeling,
my
Billy?
Let me show you a picture of Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott here, he's bleeding from his eyes because he did not wipe down his headset.
That's right. He now has Giardia and can't leave home. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Billy.
I'm telling you right now, it's weird. But this is how I feel about 3D glasses and movie theaters. Like, this isn't anything new for me. So I realize I have a bit of a bent. But regardless, Dan, back to your whole point. Absolutely. The world of sitting alone with a VR headset is something. And that will be a thing. But what will be a bigger thing is eight of you in a space doing something competitively cooperatively. With VR or augmented reality or mixed reality, I mean, that is going to be a future thing in some form. There's no question about it.
I can say is like they have to be very much better at regulating the space. That if you have the headset on, you really can't see what you're doing. And at the convention and then at an after party one night, there were always people knocking into people. I saw a few people almost get like decked upside the head because someone swung around to shoot a zombie or something. And they didn't realize that their hand was going to smack someone upside the head because they couldn't see. And like keyboards almost got smashed a few times. Controllers got almost thrown. And so you had to have someone kind of spotting someone the whole time.
Yeah.
So it should be like a karaoke booth situation maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that stuff will evolve and they'll get to places where, I mean, the Vive's pretty good about telling you where your walls are because there's like a green grid in the game. And if you're getting too close to it, it'll show up as like kind of a Tron wall. So some of that stuff's going to
get
better.
If you have more like that, then I like the keyboard in front of you and stuff.
All that being said, though, I've walked past my daughter while she's messing with the Vive, and she'll swing at the wrong time and whack me in the head with a controller. And so space is an issue. But I think it's going to be really fun for these companies to figure out the best way to position these and kind of revitalize what has been a dying thing, which is a public entertainment place like arcades, like small amusement parks. They're not seeing the level of attraction they used to get, Disneyland notwithstanding, but the smaller stuff hasn't. So maybe this would be a cool way to get bowling alleys to use that big chunk of space that they could lease next to them, or or whatever and turn it into something a little bit more social and a little more viral, if you know what I'm saying.
But you're moving around. It's addictive.
Yeah.
You know.
Instead of getting fungus on your foot, you'll get one on your face.
Yeah. There, or you can get both in there. Why not? Fungus on your foot, fungus
so
on...
You don't want to get pink fingers from those bowling balls.
What if they spray that same horrible shoe spray in the VR headset? Do you want to wear that next? Uh-uh. Not me, dude.
I just want to rush the Nexus virtually. You know, think of how cool that would be.
All right, Scott. That would be cool. Yeah. Hey, listen, Heroes of the everything in Heroes of the Storm would be better with VR. Let's just admit it. All right. Well, great forecast as always. We have a quick email to read before we close things down today. This comes to us at currentgeek@gmail.com from Casey F. That's F as in Frank, and says this: Dear geeks that are current, if you guys had to pick one best show on TV right now, which I know is not easy, which would it be for you and your guests? Best wishes, Casey. For me, it's Fargo, hands down, so it's an easy answer. I love Fargo. I think the first two seasons were incredible. This new season's already great, and it's only two episodes in. I don't know of any better TV show. Obviously, this is subjective, but I love, love, love Fargo, among a bunch of other shows. But let's just take it around the table here. Dan, we'll start with you. Go to Kathy, then Tom.
I was hoping to go last so that somebody else would say Expanse before me, because I really want to say it, but The Flash has got to be my pick, because... man, they've done such a great job over the and keeping it real, you know, keeping it really, really good over these three seasons have been amazing. So I'll go with The Flash, because I've been impressed, and I'm a fanboy.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm with you on the greatness of that show. I love it. I could watch it now if we weren't doing this, I'd be watching it now. Let's put it that way.
Kathy, you're secretly watching in the side of the TV.
Yeah, it's right over here.
No, the screen there.
Totally. Yeah. Right over there. Kathy, what are you liking these days?
I have to admit, like, actually, maybe I'm a little biased, but I really like The Expanse, actually. I mean, there are a lot of great shows out there right now. But that one has consistently, past two seasons, held my attention. And, you know, disclaimer, yeah, I work for someone on it, but it's like, that's the thing, though, is... It's a great return to sci-fi that Sci-Fi Channel had been lacking for a long time, since like Battlestar Galactica and all that. So it's the story is consistently great. The acting is pretty damn good, mm-hmm. And it's the twists are they're not stupid. You know, there's a lot going on there. A lot of the whole, you know, Belters versus everyone else, and you know, it's a really good storyline, honestly. Yeah. And they're humans.
Love it. And there are they are humans, aren't they? All humans. Mm-hmm.
The Martians, they're, you know, Earthers and stuff, but they're humans.
All right, Tom, your turn to turn the table over. What do you got?
Well, listen, I would say The Expanse, but I'm taking this very literally on TV right now, and The Expanse had its season finale, so it's not technically on TV right now.
Okay.
This Sunday, American Gods is coming, and so if you ask me in a week, I might be telling you American Gods, because it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And so I would probably have to agree with Scott and say Fargo. But since you already said Fargo, I'm going to throw in a vote for Better Call Saul, which I think is having its best season yet. These episodes feel like Breaking Bad. The first two seasons felt like a really good series about Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad. These are starting to feel right upon the same quality level as Breaking Bad. So I think it's definitely worth checking out.
And you always knew we were going there in that show, right? There was always a sense of like, okay, we got to establish some things. We've got to really challenge him as a character, but also his character. You know, what does he think is good? What does he think is bad? What is he willing to do? Like, that stuff had to be kind of worked through, and now they can kind of start really playing with it. And it's, you're right, that show's great. It's a great time to be a fan of television, folks.
Sure is.
So watch all the shows. I love The Leftovers. I'm way into that.
Yeah, that's a good show too.
Yeah,
I didn't like the first season that much, but this third season and the second season both been pretty good.
Pretty incredible stuff. Totally worth people's time. I hope they stick that landing. We'll see. But anyway, there you go, Casey. Casey didn't say, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but didn't say what their favorite show was. So I'm sad about that. Casey
didn't want to bias our answers.
Yeah, I didn't want to point us in the wrong direction. But you can send your emails to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. Now is the time to close our doors. But before we do, we like to let our guests give us links to things that they're up to. So where can people find you, Kathy, on the internet?
My handles are CheesyG on Twitter and Instagrams and all that. I also do some reporting for RedCarpetReportTV.com, and also I've been working with FunkoCreative.net stuff. We're doing a ton of awesome stuff in the studio. It's took over a ton of space, and it's kind of a great place to work, honestly. So a lot of amazing projects we've been working on here. I'm kind of excited.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous of all of that. That all sounds really good.
Yes.
Do check her out. Dan Patrice, of course. Where can you be found, and where can people get your fine podcast?
You could find me at the Corner Pharmacy. No, I'm just kidding. You could find me on the Geek All-Stars podcast or at Geek Jock Blog on Twitter. Yeah. And or you can find me after Core healing Scott's butt.
Yeah, he's always healing me, keeping us alive, which is good. And he's the only one that likes to play Ariel. And
if only you could heal his pink eye.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Or I have to level up to do that.
You can only if you could heal my aversion to pink eye. That's really what I could use. Tom Merritt, anything you'd like to add before we cut out, sir?
Well, speaking of good TV, coming up May 21st is the return of Twin Peaks on Showtime. And in preparation, my friend Ron Richards and I have been rewatching all of the original Twin Peaks from the 90s and podcasting it at damnfinepodcast.com. So if you're a Twin Peaks fan and you're getting excited about the return, you can catch up with us, and we will be done with our rewatch just in time to start watching the new show and podcast about that. So go subscribe to damnfinepodcast.com.
See that footage today? What'd you think of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got thoughts.
Yeah.
We actually didn't record our episode Thursday because of a scheduling conflict, and I'm kind of glad because this gives us a chance to look at it.
Nice. Well, all of that and more can be found soon at those places we just told you guys. thank you all for listening. We really, really appreciate it. Those listening live, you guys are always great. This tip of the spear, we like to call you, and everyone at home, thank you guys as well. As always, go to currentgeek.com if you want to find out all the ways to contact us, to find us, to get the show, to put it on whatever device you have. There's a million ways to do it. You can get it straight up on SoundCloud if you want. That's all there. Find us on Twitter at Current Geek, Scott Johnson, and Ace Detect for Tom. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we celebrate the upcoming horse racing season in my neck of the woods with a look at an April appeals court decision that was a loss for Churchill Downs, the track where next week's Kentucky Derby is held. Several racing track owners, including the Churchill Downs owner, filed suit in late 2015 against another racing venue, Kentucky Downs, and video-based gambling system software developer, Exacta Systems. The claim was for trademark infringement and the use of the trademark names of these other tracks within the gambling system made by Exacta and used at Kentucky Downs. This system allows for betting on races taking place at other venues. So down the stretch they come to the courthouse. According to the lower court and appeals court decisions, the gambling system works by showing a computer-generated simulation of a horse race as it happens. On the screen is an identifier of the location of the race, aka the name of the track, and a field behind the word location. The track owners asserting infringement argued that this was unauthorized use of their trademarks because consumers of the gambling services would incorrectly assume that the venues themselves are the source of the computer-generated recreations of the races. In short, these other track owners wanted to cut off gambling profits happening at rival tracks based on their own races. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals summarily disagreed. The court noted that these computer-generated recreations are sufficiently different from the product sold by the other track owners, which is live horse racing. It appears that if live video of actual footage from these other tracks were used, that would have been more problematic, but that was not the case here, opined the court. Essentially, the appeals court agreed that this use of the trademark names was a non-trademark use more akin to a factual recounting of race results in a newspaper, which cannot be stopped by trademark owners. The court also noted that the consumer confusion argument was not persuasive, because if the gambling system showed an inaccurate result, the person using it would likely take up their complaints to Kentucky Downs and Exacta, where they are located, rather than the other tracks. Without potential consumer confusion, there can be no trademark infringement. The bottom line is, although trademark rights are important for businesses to have, they do have some clear limits in scope. This lawsuit was exposed as something of a cash grab between competing horse racing tracks because the trademark infringement claim was too expansive for the limits of that IP. But as horse racing season rounds the bend and heads for home, I'm sure there will be plenty of profits to be made for all these gambling tracks and sites. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.